Thanks very much, choir. So good to have the choir back. The praise choir meets on Wednesdays at 6 p.m. under the direction of Mike Horseman. Everybody wave to Mike. Say hi, Mike. Thank you, Mike. Awesome. Mike's been our choir director for 77 years, and it's been an incredible run so far. And we look forward to the next 77, Mike. Thanks for everything. All right. Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to Hope. Special welcome to all of you who are visiting with us today. We really do say and mean, we mean what we say when we say it's no accident that you're here, because we've been praying for you that God would lead you here. So thank you for coming to this service. It's an honor to share God's word with you and to worship alongside of you today. I just absolutely feel that on every possible level, and I'm just praising God to be able to stand here before you. And I am so excited to share this message with you today. It's been bubbling up in me for quite a while, and I've kind of had it targeted and circled on the calendar, Rally Sunday. So you might want to put your seatbelt on, your harness, and pull it real tight, because we're gonna dig into some things today. I probably should explain something to those of you who are visiting and wondering why I'm dressed like this. Because I dress up for church, that's why, because I wear my best into God's house. I'm from Chicago, I grew up on the north side of the city, and so this comes naturally for me. And I'm wearing the jersey of the man who's my all-time favorite football player, and also the last time the Bears had a great team. So I am a person of hope, however, I try to live up to what our church name is and in every possible way. This is a really good time to be wearing a Bears jersey before the season kicks off by about an hour. It's very, very hope-filled time. We're hoping to win two or three games this year in Chicago. And if you are a Viking or Packer fan, I'm happy for you. You're going to have a great year, so they say. We'll see how it goes. Maybe your favorite team's up here, too. It's rally weekend. We're kicking off. Get it? Kickoff. Football. We're kicking off a new season of ministries here at Hope for all ages. Hope Kids is going on, teen ministries, Power Life for junior high, Ignition for senior high starts on Wednesday, adult ministries starting with Alpha, all sorts of other things. So we're kicking off this new season. Maybe your favorite team's up here, high school, college, pro, whatever it might be. Maybe it isn't. Our friend here from Hope, not our friend, one of our family members, Alan Lazard, brought this jersey over for me to wear this weekend, and I told him I would wear it. And when it was delivered to me yesterday, he couldn't do it in person because he's the wide receiver for Iowa State and one of the very, sadly, one of the few bright spots in the game for the Cyclones yesterday. He caught 7 passes. The rest of the Cyclones together, I think, caught 1. No, I'm exaggerating a little bit. That's Alan. He grew up at Hope, along with his brother Anthony, who's also on the team as a linebacker, and is the son of Kevin and Mary, and has other sibs too. We are we have this kind of neat relationship, Alan and I do, and so on Facebook, I was wondering out loud publicly what jersey I should wear, because we encourage people, if you want to, you can wear your team colors today. Although I can tell the nature of this church is be careful, because you don't want to be that guy who shows up with a jersey on if nobody else does. So next year we'll do it again, and I'm telling you, you can do it. It's okay. Now that 1 out of 50 of you did, that's great. But last night, almost everybody did. We had a big party here last night, and Alan sent his jersey over, and I said I'd wear it, and I put it on. It was delivered an hour before the service last night. I put it on, and I had a moral decision to make. Not because of the team colors, I'm fine with that, but or Alan, of course, our member of our church family, but I didn't fit. In Alan's jersey. Alan's a big guy, he's strong, but he's a little more, shall we say, cut than I am as a 52-year-old man. And I just didn't want to do that to you. So I wanted to, there's just certain things you shouldn't see, and there's certain things that you should. So I wanted you to see the jersey, but not necessarily where it was when I tried it on. So I went with a big baggy Peyton jersey instead, which every 52-year-old should. But Alan, the thing about that isn't just, oh, he brought his jersey and he's a football player and it's on display. Here's the thing you may not know about Alan. His parents pointed him to Jesus. This church pointed him to Jesus. And so what you see on the field is who he really is. It's not a show when Alan does that. It's what his parents taught him to be and reminded him he is as a child of God. It's what you did as a community for him growing up in this church. It's what we do for all the kids who grow up in this congregation at Hope, at all of our campuses. It's what you have instilled in him, and that's a big deal. As we kick off a new season of ministries, I can assure you that to Alan and to any college football player who has what Alan has, knows who he is as a child of God, whether he achieves all of his goals, even if, let's say, he became a Hall of Famer someday, for him, he knows that what he has learned here, what God has given to him through his growing up in this church family, is way more valuable, and it's going to last forever. And that grounding and that center and that balance is something that God offers for all of us as we kick off this new season. So whatever team you cheer for and jump up and shout for, I always kind of pause on that one, because it's so easy to cheer for our team. You know, we're at the end, yeah, all right, awesome, that's great. I'm the announcer for Waukee, and Waukee was losing to Ankeny. And I know we have a campus in Ankeny, so God bless you folks. We're sorry we beat you, but we did. So I'm announcing the game. There's 1.5 seconds to go in the game. Waukee's down by 3. And up in the booth, we all knew what everybody in the stadium knew, that the game's over. 49 yards, to go. It's all you can do is throw up a prayer. Well, the prayer was answered, is what happened. And Waukee got a touchdown, and it was exciting. I'd never seen a high school game end like that. And on the microphone, I might have preached a little and said something about God. But, that's... I said, the quarterback throws up a prayer and it's answered, hallelujah, or something like that, so, which means praise God in the Hebrew, and I'm sure everybody at the stadium knew that. And then I always end every game with a hope to see you soon, see how that works. So it's Friday, and then, well, yeah, anyway. So, hey, it's free, I volunteer. I mean, that's what, they can fire me if they want, but I'm gonna invite people to church, it's my community thing. So, whatever team you cheer for, when that touchdown happened, all the Waukee fans, the 9 of them that were there because it was raining, everybody went crazy. I've never seen the stadium go that good. Oh, I can't believe it! And then it comes to our relationship with God and the one who has given us life, who has saved us, rescued us, who's given us hope for our despair, who's given us... healing from our addictive behaviors for hundreds, if not thousands, in this church family, who's given us forgiveness of sins, a removal and erasing complete of our guilt and shame, who has breathed his spirit and direction and purpose and life into us. And we come to church and we're like, oh, yeah, that's great, that's awesome. What if we gave Jesus our best praise today? Because that's what we do in this church. What if we shouted our biggest praise of the week? Not for the football team we're cheering for today, but for the God who gives us life, sustains that life, saves that life. On the count of 3, everybody give Jesus praise at all of our campuses. Waukee, Johnston, Grimes, Ankeny, Des Moines, everybody watching online. Even if you're in a restaurant watching online right now, shout it out on the count of 3. Give Jesus praise for who he is. Give him praise, church. Think about what he's done. Give him praise. Get up. Get up. He's the one who rescued you. Think about what he's done. Give him praise. Give him your best. Give it to him. He alone is worthy. He's worthy. He alone is worthy. The Savior, the Lord of Lords, the King of all kings. All right, that's way more than enough for Lutherans. That's awesome. Woo, I'm tapping into my one Pentecostal brain cell. Hallelujah. That's awesome. I like that, though. I think God likes that. God, the Bible tells us that he alone is worthy, Jesus Christ, of our praise. That kind of praise. There's nothing wrong with cheering for your team. I'm not going there. But shouldn't God get our best? And when we think about it, you know, our text for today that you heard read at whatever campus you're at is the Great Commission at the end of Matthew's gospel, where Jesus gathers his disciples together and he says, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptize them and teach them, and I'll be with you always to the end of the age. That's how you do it. That's how you make disciples, baptize, teach, and remember I'm with you. But that's our mission. That's the marching orders that our Lord has given to us as his church. Go and make disciples. Go. Go. It's time for us to go. It's time for us to be the church. Too many Christians are just sitting there. And I hope that's not you, but it might be. You just come to church to sit there, to receive, to take in, and you forget that Jesus calls you to go too, that he calls you to activate your faith, that he calls you to grow, to connect, and to serve, that he calls you to be the church, me, to be the church too. It's not just me preaching at you, it's all of us. He calls us to go. We're going through this series of sermons called Radical Discipleship for Regular Christians and calling it Five Leaps of Faith. And each week over these 5 weeks, if you're doing the math, you might have figured it out, we're taking one leap. You know, 2 leaps a week would be a lot. So we're just breaking it down to one leap a week. The first week we met as all campuses gathered together at a park in Waukee. And the first step in this series that we looked at biblically was to seize the day, to put it more biblically even, to catch the glimpses of God's kingdom that breaks through into this world. And not always try to look forward to the next thing, but appreciate the moment. The holy moments that God blesses us with, like sitting in a park together with thousands of our church family, worshiping the Lord in a public place on a beautiful day. To say, thank you, God, for this moment. Thank you for bringing me to this moment in my life, this holy moment that you've set apart. That's not something the world often does. And so it's a radical step. You see, to be a radical disciple is almost redundant. It's like saying the same thing twice. To be a disciple of Jesus Christ is radical. Or you're not really a disciple, because to be a disciple of Jesus Christ is a counter-cultural move. And you all and I have to all decide at some point whether we're going to make that move. Whether we're going to let Jesus be Lord of our lives, or we're going to invent a new Lord. Or let ourselves be Lord, or somebody else call the shots for us. Or if we're going to surrender that over to the only one who's worthy of being our Lord. To the only one who cares and loves us deeply enough to be our Lord. To the only one who knows us well enough to be our Lord. Who knows the number of hairs on our head. We all have to ultimately at some point make that call. It's not about salvation. Salvation is something that God gives to us. It's now that you're saved, what are you going to do with the rest of your life? Are you going to live it for the one who gave you life, who rescued you, who brings you from the darkness into the light? Or will you give that to somebody else? Will you surrender that to the ways of the world and to the culture? And so the world says, don't seize the day. Always expect something more. Go for something else. Make it all about you. But Jesus says, no, just breathe in those moments. Soak them up. It's radical. It's discipleship. It's the same thing. To follow Jesus means we live counter to the culture. If you have that kind of faith where you say, well, I've got the world and I like to go with the ways of the world, and then I like to comfortably fit my Christianity inside of that, or kind of Velcro it onto the side, how's that going for you? I mean, really, how does that work? Because I can't figure it out. And I've tried. It's tempting for all of us to do it, to say, well, I'm going to be a man of this world. I'm going to do what my friends do. I'm going to do what everybody else does. I'm going to follow their way, because it seems like that's where everybody's going. So I guess that's where I'm supposed to go. And Jesus comes and says, no, actually, I made you for this, not that. Do not be conformed to this world, the scriptures wisely teach us, but instead be transformed. Let God change the way you think, the Bible says in Romans 12:2. Let God change the way you see your life in this world. It's radical. Discipleship is, by definition, radical. It's not something you can fit neatly into the rest of this worldly direction of life. It's something that's going to cut against the grain. It's like a fish swimming upstream in a downstream world, whatever metaphor you want to use. You're going to counter the culture if you follow Jesus Christ. The next week, we looked at a second step of faith called dreaming big, and here's another example. You say, well, that sounds like the world. Well, the way the world wants to dream big is the world says, here's my big dream, and if there is a God, he better come and make sure it happens for me. I mean, what could God possibly want more than to make sure that all my dreams come true? And if God doesn't, then God and I are going to have some issues because I've got my life, I've got my big dreams, I've got what I want to see happen, and God is supposed to make sure all those things happen, right? Isn't that what faith is all about? So that I can have all of my dreams for me come true? And God, through the scripture, says, no. To be blunt, no. I didn't create you so that all of your dreams could come true. I created you not to say, this is my dream, come bless it, God, but I created you to say, God, what is your dream for my life? Because I assure you, I can guarantee you, God's dream for your life is better than yours. God's dream for your life is bigger than yours. God's dream for your life is more challenging than yours, for sure. It's harder than yours, I'm quite sure of that. It's less comfortable than yours. It probably doesn't involve as much you getting famous or rich or having a lot of worldly success. It might. There's nothing wrong with those things as long as you keep them in order and balance. But God's dreams for your life are better and they're bigger and they go beyond what I want for me. And God says, well, actually, Mike, I made you for this, not that. I made you for something that won't necessarily be the most comfortable thing. Dream big, counter to the culture. Radical discipleship. Then we turn the page and there's this other big surprise. Last week, Pastor Jeremy preached this beautiful sermon, Pastor Dave too in the chapel, this beautiful sermon about how important it is for us as disciples to stop and to refresh. That's our theme for this year, is to refresh, to breathe in the Spirit of God on a regular basis, to keep God's Sabbath command and to take it seriously and to act like he meant it. And that it isn't a polite suggestion, it's a commandment that we have to take a day off where we worship the Lord and we renew physically, spiritually, relationally, in every possible way. That we have a day where we press the pause button. In the story of Mary and Martha in Luke 10, which Jeremy laid out for us last week, it talks about how important it is and how Jesus, our Lord, said, no, Martha, you're really busy and you got a lot to do. But that's not an excuse not to stop and worship me. Make time. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Everything else comes second. Seek me first. Radical discipleship. We're wired for this. We need this. Jesus himself, when he was here on earth, always retreated. On a regular basis, he would step away. He'd hit the pause button. Now that we have laid out those first three big leaps of faith, which are all countercultural and radical, seize the moment, the day, find the holy moments, the glimpses of God's kingdom. Experience God's dream for your life. Chase after those instead of your own and ask God to show you his will for your life because it's better. I'm the way, the truth, and the life, Jesus says. Stop. Breathe in God's Spirit. Never get so busy that you're too busy for God. If you're too busy for worship, you're too busy. If you're too busy to pray, you're too busy. If you're too busy to be what God has created you to be, you're too busy. Stop. Stop it. Now that we've done those three steps, now that we've stopped, now we can go. Aren't you relieved? Go! Go make disciples of all the nations, Jesus says. Go! But where our Lord sends us isn't always the most comfortable. Hard to believe, right? 15 Septembers ago, on this day, the whole world changed. Our country certainly changed. Those of you who are old enough to remember, probably remember exactly where you were. When you started to hear the news and it became real for you, you started to realize what was going on. I remember it like it was last week. We opened the doors of the church because people started pouring in and we thought, well, we've got to do something about this. And we had a spontaneous prayer service. We sent the word out and people called each other and next thing you know, our sanctuary is filled with people who were worshiping and praying. And we did another one that night, and we did another one the next day. And on it went, day after day after day. Some of you came to faith and came to Lutheran Church of Hope and came to God's love, faith, hope, and love. in the midst of that darkness, in that crisis, in that evil that broke through, in the midst of all that evil, some good broke through too. You haven't looked back since, and you've been here for 15 years, ever since this day, 15 years ago. And you've been coming ever since, because that was the day where you said, I surrender, God, it's yours. Because I don't know what this world is going to become, but I know you are the resurrection and the life. And you're the light of the world, and I need to see that light in the midst of this darkness. Imagine the surreal scene, if you would, of what it would be like to have actually been there, working at the World Trade Center. And you hear what's happened. Let's say you work on one of the lower floors, and you and your coworkers by the thousands all have to run for your lives, or at least walk briskly and get moving, evacuate the building. And then the one building crumbles sometime later that morning, and you're in the other building. Imagine how that would have felt. And you're trying to get out in the midst of the darkness and the dust and the chaos. You've seen the same pictures I did. Some people walking out gray, almost like zombies. And as they're walking out, imagine this. They're walking out of the darkness into the light. They're walking away, as they should, from death to the potential for life, for salvation, literally. And as they're walking out, here come the heroes. They're walking in. Can you imagine? Can you imagine being one of them? All these other people you know are doing the right, they're getting out so they can live. They're going from the darkness to the light, from death to life. But your mission, who you are, is the person who puts on the uniform and walks in from the light to the darkness, from life to death. Imagine what it would be like walking up the stairs in that second building, knowing the first building has already crumbled to the ground, knowing it's likely that you're going to die. Imagine how heroic that is, to continue to make, hoping against hope that maybe you'll find somebody, or you'll find a way through for a whole floor of people who work in the World Trade Center. Heroes, every single one of them. They go. It's their mission. One of them was a Marine who, true story, depicted in this movie called World Trade Center. He's a Marine who didn't live in New York, but when he saw the same news that every American came to realize on September 11th, 2001, he couldn't stay away. He's a Marine who is particularly gifted at rescues. And he says, this is who God's made me. He went to his church, he prayed, he met with his pastor, he says, I gotta go. And his pastor says, well, that's who you are, you gotta go. From the life to the death, from the light to the darkness. And so he went in, he put on his Marine gear, and he showed up. He didn't have credentials to get in. He wasn't officially called there, but because he was dressed the way he was, they let him in. Hero. And he went in and saved several lives, including those of John and Will, two Port Authority Police Department officers who were a part of the GO team, who walked into the darkness of death and were there when the building crumbled all around them. And that's when the Marine showed up. Even in the midst of evil, God's good breaks through. I'm the resurrection and the life, Jesus says. It's not hard to see it. We're stuck. We're lost. We're in the darkness with no hope for light unless our Savior comes. And that's why the cross is so big here, because it's so central to who we are and how we understand our past, present, and future. God gives us eternity. We're not playing church here. We're not here just to throw parties and celebrate and watch football games. You know why we had a big football game party last night, right? I'm sure those of you who've been around do, and maybe even those of you who are brand new today, you could figure it out. We like football, some of us, but that's not why we showed the game last night. We showed the game last night because we had a service happening right before that, and I want to thank the college football schedulers for doing that. Usually they schedule it at 3. So it runs right into our 5 o'clock service, and attendance at 5 o'clock is like a third of what it usually is. So we thought, oh, huge opportunity. We're going to leverage that so that maybe two or three extra people might come to church for last night's service before the game. We didn't throw a party to watch the football game just because we do like Allen, and some of you are big Hawkeye fans or Cyclone fans, and it's fun to have fellowship and to hang out together and be the body of Christ together. That's all true. But we did it because we wanted people to come and hear about the light of the world, Jesus Christ. We wanted them to hear this, that they aren't here by accident, that Jesus doesn't just show up for the 99 sheep that are found. He goes after first the one who's lost. And so if that's you, if you're the one who says, well, I'm not here really for church today. I'm here because I had to come. My mom made me come. Or my husband made me come. Or my friend made me come. Or I had to come for whatever reason. We were down in Charleston not that long ago, just a few weeks ago on a Sunday. And we went to church in the morning, my wife and I, and our daughter lives there now, and our two sons, one lives in North Carolina, the other in Minnesota. We all gathered for a week to hang out together as a family. We're looking forward to it, planned it for a long time. It was a big deal for us because it's so rare. And so we're celebrating. Sunday morning, we go to church. After church, she said, hey, let's go out. And Christy said, there's this barbecue place. She loves her father, so I really appreciate that. There's this barbecue place. She said, it's as good as Woody's in Des Moines. It's just awesome. You've got to go. It's called the Swig and Swine. Isn't that a great name for a barbecue place? We swined more than we swigged, but that's just how we roll, especially on a Sunday. So we show up at this place after church, and there's this massive line. It takes at least a half hour just to get a table. It's kind of a dive, but that's all part of its southern charm and the atmosphere, and everything's worn out, but you could smell it four blocks away. Oh, it was a holy moment that I seized. So we finally get to our table, and our server comes up, and she's as southern gets, y'all. How y'all doing? Honey, she called me honey. She's 22. I was like, what is that? And my daughter explained it's a southern thing. And I said, wow, what an accent. And then it hit me. It's like, no, we have the accent here. She's speaking normally. And so when she asked us what we ordered, she started to, y'all aren't from here, are you? And I said, no. Well, I said, she lives here now, our daughter, but we're from Iowa. Oh, that's nice. She got our food, come back, brings the food. But as we're waiting for the food, I thought, ah, we're on East Coast time. It's between 11 and 12:10 back in Des Moines, so I'm going to get my phone out and tune into hopeonline.tv, which some of you are watching right now. Maybe in Charleston, I don't know. At the Swig and Swine. Hi, y'all. So I take out my little phone, and I'm watching it, and it was the Sunday, maybe you remember, not that long ago, Nick Brannon, our high school minister, who we're voting on to be an ordained pastor next Sunday. I'm from Chicago, so I'll put it this way. Vote early, vote often, come, pad the ballot box. I'm all for this. Nick did you hear Nick's sermon? He's a gifted preacher dude, right? I mean, it was awesome. Like all the preachers at Hope, he's young and good looking. And so, well, we're all good looking. Well, we're all preachers. So we're watching this. I'm watching it, and then the family's like, oh, it's Nick. A couple of my kids grew up with Nick. And we're in the youth group here, Ignition, with Nick, the high school ministry. Nick grew up in this church like Alan Lazard did and came to faith through his family, and you as a community led him to Jesus Christ. He went to college. He went to seminary. He graduated, and we finally called him up and said, hey, Nick, he's married to Michelle, who also grew up in this church. We said, why don't you come home? Why don't you come and serve here at Hope, your home church? He's like, yeah. You know, we're like, yeah, everybody's happy. Nick comes back. So I'm watching Nick on my little phone, and then our server comes back with the food. She says, what y'all? Because we were all kind of gathered around the little phone watching, and he was just nailing it, hitting a home run. And she says, what y'all do? What are you looking at? I said, oh, here we go. And I said, oh, we're watching our church from back home in Iowa. She said, your church is on your phone? Live right now? I'm not going to do the accent anymore because I can't do it justice. And I'll just say what she said. She says, right now, well, what kind of church is it? And I said, oh, here we go deeper. Now, you know, the part of me on the surface is like, I don't want to get into this. But people say this to me once in a while. They say, well, it's got to be hard for you, right? Because Des Moines' not that big of a city and Hope is such a massive church. And so when you go out in public, how can you ever just be yourself? I kind of scratch my head when I hear that. I'm like, who do you think I am when I'm not here? I mean, what kind of a person do you think I really am out there? I'm just kind of Pastor Mike wherever I go. And so if you see me, come say hi. I like people. I mean, you know, I might keep moving and not have time to counsel you for an hour and a half, but I gotta, you know, I'm not out on my day off to do that, but I like to say hi. It's fine. Say hi. But there was a part of me that was on vacation. I just didn't want to go there, but deeper, there was a part of me that's like, oh, awesome. This is like inviting people to a college football game so maybe they'll come to church. I can plant a seed here. I could invite her to watch or invite her to a church around here. The one we went to this morning was great. Maybe we can get into a conversation that'll lead to that so I can go. So I can bring some light into her world in case she doesn't know it. And I said, it's Lutheran Church of Hope. She says, and she looked at it and she says, whoa, and they were doing a wide shot. How many people go to that church? It's like 10,000 on an average weekend. My mom, who goes to Hope Waukee, hi mom, how you doing? She's watching me right now. She says she doesn't tell her friends in Kansas City where she's from anymore how big our church is because they think she's senile. They think she's losing it. She tells them the truth and then they're like, oh, Delphine. There weren't that many people in the park. There's no way. It's Des Moines, Iowa, and it's a Lutheran church. What do you expect us to believe here? How about you believe what God can do? Because it is in us. So she asked us, what kind of church is this? The server did. And then when I told her how many people come here every weekend, all of our just an average summer weekend even, she said, something I want to ask you. Why? Thought that was a brilliant question, which is why I've been waiting to ask you. Why do you come? I don't just mean to Hope. Why would anybody come to any Christian church? What is it you're looking for here? In Luke's gospel and Mark's gospel, I'll go ahead and read from the Luke 18 account of this story. There's a blind man who's sitting by the road outside of Jericho when Jesus comes by with his followers, his disciples. Radical group that they are, countercultural. And there's a big crowd that starts to form because Jesus is becoming pretty famous for his healing and his teaching. And he comes into Jericho, which is right outside of Jerusalem, and as he gets into town, the blind man, the Bible says in Luke 18, starting in the 35th verse, when he heard the noise of the crowd going past, he asked what was happening because he couldn't see it. He could hear something, some commotions going on, but he couldn't see it. Can you see? Why are you here? They told him that Jesus the Nazarene was going by, so he began shouting, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. This is my chance, Jesus. Hey, I heard you're here. Hey, I'm over here. I can't see you, but you can see me, right? Jesus. And so the crowd did what crowds do. Shh. Quiet down. Simmer down now. Quiet down. No, no, no. That's not how we do church. That's not how we work. That's not how we do things around here. You have to conform to our religious ways, which is a total misunderstanding of biblical faith. You have to fit into our world, into our culture, even our religious world, our religious culture. You can't do it like that. But he didn't care. He shouted all the more loudly, the Bible says, Jesus! And the crowd must have said, hey, stern warning time. He's not here for you. He's here for us. We're the religious people. He's not here for you. He's here for us. And Jesus said, no, actually, I'm here for him. I'm here for the lost sheep first, not the 99 who are found. In the place of the 99 who are found, don't feel bad if that's you, is to celebrate that. Because he came and found you once too. Because he saved your life too, and you should want that for your friends. And for all who come into God's house, wherever that house is. No, I'm here for him. I didn't come for people who are well. I'm a physician who came for the sick. I didn't come for people who are already found. I came for those who are lost. And if people are really found, they'll celebrate that. They won't get envious about it. They'll jump up and down and say, yes, Lord. That's the radical direction we want to follow you on. That's where you're sending us to go. And Jesus came up to the man and asked a very direct question. What do you want me to do for you? Can you imagine being the blind man? Duh! He didn't say that. He says, bluntly, I want to see. Jesus says, okay, you're healed. Boom. That would have been cool, right? And he could see. But here's the part of the story most people miss. Luke 18 says, the blind man had his eyes opened and could see from the darkness to the light, from death to life, visually. But here's the part I love even more, because it lasts longer. And then he followed Jesus. Did you know that part of the story, even those of you who are Bible gunners? Because that's the best part. That's what changed his life, even more than going from blindness to sight. He started to follow Jesus. And when you and I do that, we start to see. We start to see things we will not see if we don't go all in with Jesus, if we don't go, if we don't start and realize we weren't just brought into this church just to sit here. We were brought here so that we could be led and inspired by God's Holy Spirit to go. Here's my challenge for you today. Here's where the view is incredible. Inside this circle, if you will. Outside of this circle, there are these other circles that go beyond it, if you will. So out here is the community. Inside, across the line from community, is the crowd. That's why we invite people into this church and do whatever we can to get them to come. Inside of the crowd, across the next line, is the congregation. Have you found yourself yet? What circle do you hang out with when it comes to God? Because this is the spot with the view. This is the room you want. This is where you want to be. This is the core of the church. These are the disciples. These are the people who don't just come into the congregation to sit there and to hang out and to see what they can get out of the service. This isn't just the crowd who shows up once in a while when the church has an event or an activity or brings them in. And this certainly isn't just the community that's on the outside looking in. Have you noticed how hard the community and sometimes even the crowd are trying to get a view? Who are trying to get their eyes, are trying to see everything they could possibly see in this world? And so they go all over the world looking for it. They travel, they buy things, they consume things, they try things, they experiment with things, they wander off, they create their own morality, they do all this kind of. So what is that? Why do people do that? Because they want to see life, they want life. Because they're trying to see, they're trying to get something. Why are you here? Why do you come here? I want to challenge you to move. If you're in the community, come into the crowd. If you're in the crowd, come into the congregation. If you're in the congregation, come into the core. And go. Be this disciple that God has called you to be. It means you're going to surrender it all. It means you're going to give up everything. But I'm telling you, this is the view you've been longing to see and have been trying to find out here your whole life. This is eyes being opened. The spiritually blind see again. Death to new life. Darkness to light. And the only place you can see it is following Jesus Christ. I am the way, not just a way. I'm the way, Jesus says. And I'm the truth. And I'm the life. And no one gets there except through me. I'm the one who can open your eyes. And I'm the only one. And I came here for you today, Jesus says. I came here for you to hear that. I came here so you would open your eyes. I came here to give you a better view. I came here to give you an upgrade, which the world will say, ah, you're going too far. And Jesus says, you haven't come far enough. Now you have to decide who gets to be your Lord. The world that says, ah, you're going too far, stop. How much does that world care about you again? Really? And how much does the one who sent his son to die on a cross for you care about you? Who gets to be your Lord? Isn't that part of the reason why we're here? Whatever campus you're at right now, even if you're watching online in a restaurant somewhere, find someone to talk to about this. Why are you here? Turn to the person next to you on either side and talk about it. 30 seconds. Some of you are looking like, really? We're going to participate in the sermon? Yes! Don't just sit there. Why did you come to church today? Why are you here? Why? All right, you got it? The blind man's eyes were open. Instantly, the man could see, and he followed Jesus, praising God. He started to worship. It was church. And all who were there, too, who were complaining about him before, they saw it. The 99 found sheep saw what Jesus did for the lost sheep. And they started praising God, too. Why are you here? I mean, maybe you gave, like, the right answer, which I will not dispute, Jesus. All right, that's the Sunday school, I think. I think I came here because I was hoping to get breakfast before the service, but I'll say Jesus. I'll go with that. Because I think that's the right answer. Whatever. I mean, not whatever, that is the answer. I mean, whatever your answer is fine. But what I want to tell you is, when you become a disciple of Jesus Christ, when you become radical like that, and your eyes get open and you start to see, you start to realize we came here to see what God can do for us and through us. We came here to see the miracle worker. We came here and we brought our horrible sinner friends with us. Welcome. We're glad you're here. Because the rest of us who are here have achieved perfection. Quite the opposite. Welcome to the club of forgiven sinners, of people who need saviors over and over and over again. But we come here to see what God can do. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. If you have your Bibles, go there. Puts it like this. Now all glory to God, who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. All glory to this God who can accomplish infinitely more. His power at work in us. We came here to see what God can do. His power at work within us. What he can do for us and what he can do through us. We came here for that. Once we start to see the light, we realize that's what being the church really is, and that's why the view is so good. Because if we open our eyes to it, and if we let God lead instead of trying to lead God, which is what happens out here, this is where you let God, this is where you surrender and say, no, you lead, you be Lord, I'm not very good at it. I surrender it to you. Once you do that, you start to see. And once you start to see, it changes everything. And once it changes everything, well, that's when Ephesians 3 comes to life. And you say, my goodness, in a medium-sized city in the middle of Iowa, God built a church of over 10,000 people on an average weekend. We came here to see what God can do. And it's not just the mass numbers. Much more important than that is what happens to each of those people. And our stories of going from darkness to light and death to life and despair to hope and addiction to freedom and recovery and celebrating that and praising God for that. You say, okay, that's what I want. How do I move from here to there? How do I go? Welcome to Rally Sunday. Here's all these ministries. Take the Alpha course. That's the perfect place to start. It starts tonight, conveniently for you. See you tonight. We've got CORE for people who've taken Alpha. We've got REVIVE for young adults, a leadership conference coming in October. Page 2 Worship, which starts on Wednesday nights here in West Des Moines in the chapel at 6 p.m. Same time Hope Kids is going to start in a month, so it's convenient at the same time for you. Ignition for high school students, Power Life for junior high, Hope Kids for kids from age 3 to grade 5, men's ministries, women's ministries. These are just the front doors. There are hundreds of other places for you to plug in around here. Get moving. Go. 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 I want to introduce you quickly to our staff. Come up here, pastors and senior staff. This isn't our whole staff. These are the pastors and the senior leadership team. Give them a big hand as they come up here. I want to invite all the campus pastors to go ahead and take it from here. And you're going to wrap up specifically for each of your campuses. Come on up, guys. Praise God for these people. They're awesome. I want to wrap up by introducing these folks to you. You can be seated. I want you to connect with them. Some of you already know who all these people are, but a lot of you don't. And I want you to know who they are so you can connect with them and you connect with the staff that they lead, because we are here not just to do ministry, but to equip you for ministry. This is Nick Brannon, the good-looking preacher. Hi, Nick. How you doing? I've said enough about you. Welcome. Glad you're here. This is Ben Mason, Pastor Ben with the hipster beard. It's just the... Pastor Ben is, he and Richard are the nosebleed high IQ portion of the crew here. The rest of us are dumb as a bag of rocks, but they kind of balance us out. Not true. Everybody here is brilliant other than me. But see, I'm smart enough to balance myself out. So Ben is that guy who, when pastors get together, says something and we all go, oh, wow. That's deep, theologically. Ben is also our family pastor. He's great. Leads our marriage ministry, pre-marriage ministry here in West Des Moines. Does counseling, care ministry, teaches, all sorts of things. Keep him very busy. This is Mark Brandt, who's been with us for over 15 years. Came as our youth guy, now does our Hope Online ministry. He's a preacher, teacher, minister, worship leader. There isn't anything this man can't do. He also connects to our new local sites, which are watching right now, in Forest City and Ames. Hello to them and all the others that are starting to bubble up. A man of many hats. Thank you, Mark, for being here. This is Pastor Andy. Andy is also incredibly brilliant and has a deep passion for what I'm preaching about today. You must be digging this sermon, right? Yeah, discipleship is his main role, and he is here to disciple you, to teach you the faith. He has this ministry he started together with the adult discipleship team called Equip, and if you're interested in that, check it out with Andy. Pastor Richard is, what can you say about this man? Pastor Richard has been here for a long time, back when we were in the old building, and I absolutely rely heavily on him on so many different levels. Richard is brilliant. We all know that. He's also talented, an organist, and just an incredible pastor to have around. He's also close to getting his doctorate, which should not surprise any of us. This is Pam Avo, the most caring, loving person, and a lot of you already know that. When she walks into your hospital room, you are a blessed human being. She's also a great counselor. She's our chaplain here at Hope and has been for 16 and a half years. That's another great thing about this team. Most of them have been up here for more than a decade. This is Emily Langpaul, who, like Alan and like Nick, was raised by you, her parents, her family, but also you as a church. She grew up in this church. Emily is now our fearless leader of the youth and family ministries, all of them. She oversees junior high, senior high, children, Nick, Justin, the whole children's ministry staff, and she's on our senior leadership team because she's particularly gifted at discerning these things and capturing vision and participating in putting vision together. So I'm blessed to have Emily on that leadership team. This is Ellie. Ellie Clay is our newest staff member. She is our intern pastor this year, just started from Luther Seminary. Everybody say hi, Ellie. Hi. We are so glad you're here. Thank you. Welcome. Ellie has already been a blessing to all of us who've met her, and I know she's going to be a blessing to you, as you will be for her. And if they aren't, you let me know. Okay, I'll tell them. Wow. What can I say about Jeremy Johnson, my fellow co-preacher here at Hope every weekend almost at West Des Moines, also on the leadership team at Hope. a man who is, it's like having another senior pastor here at Hope, and I am so blessed to work in partnership with him. I'm a little worried about his football team he cheers for, but other than that, I love the man. Dave Johnson is a pastor of pastors. He is the Yoda of the staff. He serves us in so many ways, along with Pastor Merv, who couldn't be here, so there's Merv. Typical of Merv, but anyway, I'm kidding. Merv and Dave are two of the great pioneer pastors in the Lutheran Church. We wouldn't be able to do what we're doing at Hope if they hadn't done it first. And they've got the arrows in their back to prove it too. So Dave is a blessing to all of us. And then last but certainly not least, Chris Canary, who is our operations director and our executive minister. The man is brilliant. Auditors come and audit our books every year, and they come to me and say, do you know how good he is? Our church council treasurers, every time the new one comes by, they say, do you know how good he is? I say, I do. I really do. And we appreciate you so much, Chris. It's not just the books, which are squeaky clean, and the auditors can't believe it. It's the fact that you saved this church and have saved this church millions of dollars in building costs over the years, because the man knows how to make a deal. I'm telling you, he's... I don't want to know exactly how he makes all those deals, but I know that he does on your behalf. So your offering dollars are safe and well kept, in addition to just running the whole church. So if you have a complaint about the way the church is running, ask Chris. Talk to him about it, because I'm clueless. I'm just the preacher. So this is your senior staff and pastors here at Lutheran Church of Hope West Des Moines, but they represent the rest of the staff. So this is just a portion of the starting lineup, and we, in a creative way, want you to meet the rest of the West Des Moines staff, the rest of our starting lineup. Take a look, and then we'll get ready to go. Praise God for them. All right. So I saved the best for last, and that's you. See, we're here to equip you to be the church. That's our biggest goal as a staff, is to help you see what God can do for you and you in you and what he can do through you. I'm wearing a Walter Payton jersey, right? My all-time favorite football player. Poor Walter Payton. Until Mike Ditka came along. He was the greatest running back of all time, but he had a lousy team all around him. Kind of like the Bears now. And he had no hope of winning a Super Bowl until Ditka came and started building a team around him, including a punky QB known as McMahon, the 46 defense, Buddy Ryan, Mike Singletary, Otis Wilson, Willie Gault, Matt Sui, Gary Fensick. All these players, it took a whole team, and then in 1986, a holy moment in my life, the Chicago Bears won a Super Bowl, 46-10 over New England. It takes a team. It takes a team. It takes a whole church. What is it that God can do through you? Isn't it time to open your eyes and see? Isn't it time to look around? I walked right up here to Jack. Everyone say hi, Jack. Jack is on a camera right now. Hi, Jack. How you doing? Jack is a volunteer in our production team. He also served on Nick Brandon's call committee in recommending Nick to you. He's also served on other teams around here over the years. He's been here over a decade. He does it all as a part of the team, as a volunteer, and we wouldn't be nearly as good of a church without people like Jack. He's just an example. Jack is also an architect who loves our Bible camp ministries that we partner with, Riverside and Okoboji. And because he's an architect, he designed for them all of their new cabins at Riverside, 12 new cabins that Hope built, and the new campfire spot for Okoboji. And here's this crazy part. He didn't send them a bill. He just did it because he's part of the team. And he wants the gospel, the good news, to get out. And because he wants to go. What is it that you want to see? Why are you here? Isn't it time to see what God can do for you and through you? Because when you do, it's not just better for the world around you, it's better for you. The view. The view. It's time to go. And I don't just mean it's time to leave the service, it's time to go. It's time to stop just sitting there and time to go out and be the church. Amen? All right, let's stand up, sing if you want, go if you want, whatever you want to do. Go out and be the church. Go in peace. Serve the Lord.